Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Pelican Scoop, a hoop-ball.com presentation. I am your host, as always, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. And you can follow me if you'd like to, L-Y-L-E-S-W-I-T-H-E-N-B-A-N-K as in bank, and at hoopballpels is the show on Twitter. So go and give that a follow as well, it'd be fantastic. Just how it sounds, I suppose. H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L-P-E-L-S. That'd be fantastic. Love if you'd go and give us a bit of support and a bit of love on there. And make sure you tweet us out. And if you've got anything to contribute, well, go and do it. Because you get mentioned on here, I'll have a chat about whatever carry-on we get on there. And, you know, I love it. I love interacting with people. So make sure we go and do that if you feel so inclined. While I've got you, if you don't mind going on to your... I suppose, podcast app, whether that be iTunes or Spotify or whatever one you listen to, and go and drop a review and a rating for us. It's always fantastic, and yeah, we love the support, particularly if it's positive. If it's not, we'll keep your opinions to yourself. No one likes a gossip. Now, that's enough of my carry-on. What are we going to talk about today? You haven't heard from me for a couple of days. I did promise a podcast after the first Portland game. That didn't happen, neither the second. So now... before they play again, we're going to unpack our little taunt, I suppose, a little jaunt down to Portland, Oregon. We rolled in there, played a couple of games, unsuccessful in both. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the games, well, don't listen to this one. We headed up to Portland after a couple of good wins. You know, we were carrying on. I think the last podcast started with, is the Pelicans the greatest team of all time? The answer of that is no, as we found out on Tuesday night. We head up there to Portland after a few good wins, after beating the Clippers, undoing them thoroughly, and we ran into Damian Lillard, who gave us a real welcome by dropping 50 points on the night. He was fantastic. The Pelicans in this one, you know, it's not all doom and gloom because the game, I thought Pelicans were going to absolutely belt them. And they started so well, went into the half just absolutely laughing. And unfortunately, the Portland Trailblazers just held hung around, I guess. So in the first half, we go the quarter by quarter to give you a bit of an idea as what happened. We started out 34-28, so good, fast start. You know, they're just hanging around. Lillard was solid. Quarter two, 30-22, and we started to build quite a good lead. Come into the half, and, you know, the third quarter, we were good. We held on 31-32 in their favor, clawed it back a little bit. And the last quarter, which doesn't really do it justice, I mean, it was 29-43 in favor of Portland, but with 6 minutes, I think it was 5 minutes and 55 seconds left, we were up by 17. And our team decided that they were ready to go to bed, and Portland dragged back the victory, a one-point victory, 125-124, while being 17 points down with 5 minutes to go in a game. Heartbreaking, to say the least. It looked like a thorough win, a thorough victory by our team. It was almost time to go and get the young guys in for a run around, And Damian Lillard said, no, I'm not actually keen on that. I want to win this one. And he dragged his ragtag bunch of carry-ons all the way to the promised land and had a big win. It was CJ McCollum's return after a foot injury, so he came back and joined the party. He started very hot on the night in the beginning. Didn't seem to have too many minute restrictions. And listening to a few of the Blazers commentators about that in different podcasts and the like, they were saying that he wouldn't come back if he wasn't 100% right and on no minutes restriction. So he came in, played quite well, and really we just couldn't match him. Lillard, yeah, like I said, had 50 points. I think it was 20 point last quarter, which really dragged it back. He's averaging 30 on the season. They shot 31 of 31 from the free throw line, including Lillard's 18 of 18. Make of that what you will. We shot 16 of 20, left a few on the board. I suppose we're going to jump all the way to the final, I suppose, couple of minutes. There's about 2 minutes to go. We're down by three. Brandon Ingram gets a foul, goes to the line, couple of free throws, misses them both. Hit one, you ice the game. They got no chance. We follow that up by getting a good stop. Oh no, it was back to one. Sorry, pardon me. Back to one. They score, and then we get down the other end, and we sit there, and Nikhil leads out, and he'd had a great game. And we throw the ball to him, and it bounces off his chest and goes out of bounds. Okay, so there's what? I think this was like 4 seconds left or something. Like we just, there was nothing in it, nothing in it at all. And bounces off him, they get the ball, and you know where they're going. They're going to Damian Lillard. Bledsoe is on him, and Lillard goes and gets two free throws. We foul him. It looked like it was a three, but I think he had his foot on the line or it's just inside, and we foul him and he hits two free throws. And then we get to about 1.2 seconds left, I think it was. Lonzo does the full court heave to Zion, who turns around, has a pretty good look at it, a little bit further out than he'd like, hits a little bit high on the backboard, and it hits off the front of the rim, off the backboard instead of falling in. After watching a 17-point lead evaporate in the space of 5 minutes. I suppose what's frustrating about this is that we're in control of the game. For the majority of the game, we had it absolutely sewn up. But the frustrating thing with this team is that we did something so right for the whole game. We moved the ball. We absolutely smashed them in assists. It was something like 38 assists on 46 made shots. And that in itself is just unbelievable. That's huge. I think Lonzo Ball had a career-high 17 assists, which in itself was unbelievable. He was great. We passed the ball. If we go over to the assists, yeah, we had 8 from Zion. Everyone had a couple. Just about everyone that played had an assist, besides Billy, who only played 2 minutes. So we moved the ball. We did everything right. And in that last 5 minutes, we just started playing hero ball. We thought, oh, well, you know, we'll just go shot for shot with these guys. The problem is when they're shooting threes like they do, it makes it very difficult when you stop doing what was working. We had them dead to rights. We could have sewn this one up and really let it slip away. Head over to the box score. BI was probably our best with 30 points. Lonzo Ball had 11 and 17, as I said, a few other stats. Zion was good with 28, 5, and 8 assists. And Nikhil had 20 off the bench. Josh Hart with 16 and 9 rebounds. Good stats, but just couldn't close the game. And I know Stan was absolutely ropeable afterwards. You know, we went away from what we were good at. And what's frustrating is that if we won the games that we lost by less than 10, we'd be... or when we were up by 10 and then lost a lead, we'd be like the fourth seed. And when you see that potential, that all you have to do is hold on. In the fourth quarter, you've had at least a 10-point lead and then squander it. That's what makes it frustrating. That's what is the worst part, is that these guys could be so dominant. And for some unknown reason, we're really bad at closing games. There hasn't been many where we've responded, and it's either win by 30 or lose. and it's just not really sustainable model. Surprisingly, it's not great. But I suppose my key takeaways from this one, go over to the stats of the game. You know, number one, 38 assists on 46 shooting made shots is unbelievable. We'll keep moving the ball. When you move the ball, you disrupt the defense. And if you're happy to do that and you can be unselfish and multiple passes and probe the defense, pass and move, you get good shots. And that's what we found. You know, and for the majority of the game, that worked. I mean, they were much better from 3-point. Oh, not much better, actually. They had 18 of 43. We had 16 of 33, 48%, which is fantastic. 52 for the game percent. They were 52 as well, and 41 from 3. But the free throws are what killed us. 31 is just next level. We smashed them in the rebounds, 41 to 32. Offensive was 10 to 4. Keep that number in mind when we talk about the next game. And turnover 16 to 17, so we actually beat them. And the stat that I always whinge about, the points off turnovers, we won 26 points off turnovers to 19. Unfortunately, we just couldn't get it done. And 50 points and 6 rebounds, 10 assists from Damian Lillard is just unbelievable. That's huge. And they just had a few other guys chip in. 22 from Gary Trent off the bench. And he is probably in contention for most improved player. He's been fantastic this year. Big props to Gary Trent, particularly with CJ being out, and I suppose he stepped up a bit, which is good. Now, key takeaway number two, we need to close games. They can't take the foot off the pedal, and there needs some veteran leadership in that someone needs to steady the ship. And whether that's Eric Bledsoe for while he's there, or whether it's Brandon Ingram deciding he's going to step up and lead, or whether that's Steven Adams, or I don't know, one of these other guys. Maybe it's JJ Redick. He hasn't been with the team, and there's conjecture that he's probably not going to ever come back. They're going to trade him, but haven't heard anything sure thing about that as of yet. But you need someone that just leads, someone that says, "Do you know what, guys? We've got these guys up against the wall. Let's finish them off. Put your foot on the throat." And that killer instinct is something that we have really, really lacked. And you can blame, oh, you know, they got lots of free throws and they wanted it more. Well, they did. They did want it more, and that's why they fought back. But it's easy when the team's going to sleep. So execution down the stretch is something that we're just going to have. It's a growing thing, you know. We're in the young team, but that's got to be the next step. It's just finishing those heartbreakers. And you can see it across all sports with a young team. You get these heartbreakers. But it's tough. It's tough. You've got to learn how to win. My third key takeaway is this carry-on that Brandon Ingram and Zion can't play together is just getting old. I know I've mentioned it in other podcasts. They can we get 50, nearly 60 points from the two guys combined. Like, you're wrong. So take your opinions and carry on, because they can play together. They complement one another. Point Zion opens the space up for Brandon Ingram, who's been much more aggressive. He'll get his drives when he wants them. He'll also hit mid-ranges. He can shoot the three. Zion's still going to get his when he goes down low. We stagger them on offense as well.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's no issue there. The issue is the supporting cast. And, I mean, while Lonzo has some good games, he has some average games. So does Bledsoe. So does Steven. It's growing pains. And it's about complementing those stars. I don't know what that entails or what that looks like. I'm not a team builder. But that's something that we're going to have to work on. And I don't think we throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think this is the first, or the second year, I guess, or the first year of a full rebuild. And it's obvious that the results that we're getting aren't opportune and aren't what we want. Aren't the best result, but it's early days. We've got so many draft picks and stuff like that. You know, whether we move these guys or we don't, well, keep them there. No one is too bad in terms of their salary. You know, Steven Adams is going onto a pretty good contract after this year, down to $17 million a year, which it sounds like a lot for a regular person, but for an NBA player and starting quality center, you're pretty happy with that. Particularly the big body next to Zion, I think I like that, as we've talked about for many, many episodes. And I think patience is the key. It's difficult, but these growing pains are still very obvious. So let's dig in and support the team. Now, before I get into the second game, of course, I'd like to thank the sponsors, mybookie.ag. Go and use the code HOOPBALL when you do a deposit, and that'll give you a 50% deposit match on top of what you put in. You put in your $50, you get your $25, etc., etc. So go and do that, and of course manscaped.com, if you need to have a shave, or you don't, you just want to go get some stuff, go and sort it all out, and we'll use the code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL20 is the code, and you can get whatever you want over there, they've got plenty of stuff, so go and check them out, good friends of the show, and of HOOPBALL. Also, if you do a bit of fantasy or you want to get your NBA news, head over to the HoopBall YouTube page. We're doing live shows like every day, I think. HoopBall TV is going gangbusters. Whole heap of guys that have just got their ears to the ground. I might be on there at some point. We'll see how we go in terms of availability. But you see me pop on there and I'll be no doubt plugging it all over my socials. But go and check it out, because they've got heaps of info, and whether it's your fantasy news or it's pre-game analysis and a bit of post-game if it's a later on show. You never know what you're going to get and who's going to pop on there. So go and check that out, YouTube, and then Google HOOPBALL. Tell them Lyle sent you in the comments and maybe that'll do something, probably won't. But we'll see how we go. Now, on with the show. We had a night off and then we played the Portland Trailblazers again. I love coming up against the same team twice. This game was a bit more convincing, 101-93 in favor of the Portland Trailblazers. We defended quite well, but couldn't score. So Portland has the fourth-ranked offense in the league, I think, or thereabouts, fourth or third, and one of the worst defenses, and we have one of the best offenses, and today it was, well, in this game, it was absolutely atrocious. We couldn't score at all, kept shooting threes. That seemed to be our idea of a good time, is that we keep throwing the ball at the backboard hoping it'll go in, and unfortunately it just never did. I saw a really good tweet, I think it was by Lewis Prajan, good friend of the show, who tweeted out, Pelicans are really good at keeping the game close enough so that you can't turn it off despite you knowing the result. he's spot on. We knew what was going to come, we never looked like we were going to have a crack, and it looked like we just wanted to go home, and you can't do that. You can't just play half the games, pick and choose when you want to play well. It's disappointing. We got absolutely smashed on the, well, I suppose, absolutely smashed is wrong, because, I mean, they had 14 offensive rebounds. We had 10. But this just kept coming every time we wanted to make a bit of a run. Enes Kanter got hold of the ball and gave us a bit of a touch-up. We lost the rebounds, 50-44, and that's probably the key stat that really punished us. Our percentages as well are probably pretty bad. I'll make mention of those. Field goal percentage, we shot 39% for the game, 33 made on 83 attempts, 10 of 37 three-point attempts. I love that. I love that from us, that all of a sudden we decided we were going to have a shootout with Portland Trailblazers, who were a three-point shooting team. 27% from the field, from the three-point line, pardon me. Over on the other side, Portland had 37.9%, 33 on 87. And from 3, 14 of 43, 32%. Free throws, they shot 21 of 25. And we shot 68% from the free throw line, 17 of 25, which just isn't good enough. Come on, guys, let's get it together. Assists was good again, 24 to 11. We know Portland plays with a lot of ISO ball. It was give it to Dame, let him score. Give it to Carmelo Anthony, let him score. And that's just what we saw. His turn, his turn, his turn, his turn, his turn. And they just buried us because they were good at that. Points off turnovers, back to all is real or normal in the world again. They scored 18, we scored 11 off our 12 turnovers. They had 13, but we couldn't score off them. So fantastic work from our guys. And that was, of course, sarcasm. Trailblazers, they started the fourth with a 9-2 run, which was really good to see when the guys could have probably dug in. Instead, we decided to lie down and let them belt us. And honestly, it was just a pretty average effort. The guys didn't look like they wanted to be there, and the Portland Trailblazers punished us for that. Lonzo Ball cooled down a little bit. He had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal and a block. 6 of 15 shooting, 3 of 11 from 3, which is not good. Zion was solid in 36 minutes, 26 and 10 on 52% shooting. Brandon Ingram, 19, 4 and 4. He struggled, 7 of 21 on the night, 3 of 9 from 3, and had 3 turnovers. Zion had 4, so we hate to see it, but that's how it went. Steven Adams was average, 6 and 10. He got absolutely killed by Enes Kanter. The other half of the Stash Brothers, if you remember them at the OKC, they both had big moustaches together and were good mates, but they didn't seem to be mates that night. Bledsoe was average, 7, 3, and 3. His shot is broken, and I don't know what happened overnight, but he has disappeared on the offensive end. I don't know. But he still works hard on the defensive end, but just not real good otherwise. Lillard was good over on the Portland side, 36 points. Covington had 10 and 10. Enes Kanter had 16 and 13. McCollum had 11 in 20 minutes. And Gary Trent Jr. cooled down. He actually shot real bad. He was 1 of 11, 9%. Had 3 points. But Carmelo Anthony stood up and had 15. So what can you do? There's not much to say about this one. It was honestly, I sat up and watched it. I think I finished about 1 a.m. last night. And it was just boring. It wasn't a very exciting game. We didn't do much. No one really had a crack, and in turn, it was a bit lackadaisical, and yeah, I didn't really enjoy watching it at all. So, which is a shame, because we watched every game this year, and I think that was one of the least enjoyable ones. There wasn't any passion. I just sort of sat there and was like, oh, okay. Don't have a crack then. So, where to from here? They flee Portland. I don't think they go home yet. They're still on the road trip. Maybe they do go home. They play the Nuggets. It's a 1:30 Central Time at Denver. 3 a.m. for me, so you're not going to get a podcast from me straight away, unfortunately. I'm going to be asleep. So that is on Monday morning. It's Sunday night in Denver. So we're going to take on a side that is 25 and 16 on the night. We're on the season. We're 17 and 24. So they're a pretty good side. We are not... standings-wise, I guess. And it's going to be a tough one. We've got some tough matchups. Jamal Murray's been flying, as well as, of course, Nikola Jokic, who is just an absolute beast. He'll probably triple-double, which is disappointing, but you can't stop greatness. He's probably MVP this year. him or Embiid before he got injured. Damian Lillard's probably in contention as well. I'm not really excited about that game at all. It's going to be a hard one to watch. And I hope we just come out and slap them. I hope we rebound. We always need a loss for us to really win by 30. So hopefully two losses like this might kick us into gear. But we'll see what happens. We'll revert back. Key takeaways of the last game. Portland didn't look like they wanted to be there. And the result showed. We were difficult. Lillard was difficult to guard. His ability to shoot threes from anywhere really troubled us, and it meant Steven Adams had to live outside the paint on those high pick and rolls that Enes Kanter just thrives on. He comes out to the halfway line, screens, and then just belts back to the ring to get open layups and dunks. And we didn't have a counter. We didn't have a guy that wanted to slide across because the 3-point threats in the corners were too good. And then to finish the game, you know, Derek Jones Jr. and who else was it? One of the other blokes hit a big three as well and basically closed the game out. So disappointing, but we need to be able to work it out because there's a few guys in our conference that can shoot from pretty much anywhere. You know, this other guy, Steph Curry, you might have heard of. He's another guy that can step out and shoot from anywhere. So if they play games like that, we're going to be in some trouble when we come up against guys with that much range, especially if they're going to play this high pick and roll and drag Steven out of the paint. And he's got to be aware of not getting caught in no man's land when Lillard says, no, I'm not going to shoot it from here. I'm going to drive and lay it up myself, because he's got that mad floater game, and we got punished by it. Key takeaway number two is we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of young guys, and I think the investment needs to come soon. Hopefully we can just flog a few of the guys off and really give Nikhil, Kyra, even Jackson, who's been playing revitalized basketball, a bit of a go. And I suppose my final key takeaway is we need consistency. I think consistency is the key. If you're gonna lose and say you lose badly like we did in that 1-point loss, well, you sort of need to say, all right, what were the issues? And come out and rectify those issues. You're coming against the same team, so you play them exactly the same. But instead, we come out with less, less confidence and less energy. You know, we just come out flat. And you can't do that. You can't just go and lie down against teams like this, you know, and give them easy wins, because these are guys you're meant to be competing with. So have a crack. Yeah, so it was a little bit disappointing, but we'll bounce back. We'll take on Denver in a couple of days, and we'll see what happens. Now, before I wrap up, happy birthday to Antonio Daniels, the great Antonio Daniels, who is, I always plug him on here, don't I? Always chat about what he says. Fantastic color commentator for the Pelicans over at Foxport New Orleans. You probably see me tweet him on Twitter, and I fangirl a bit about him. I think he's fantastic, and his takes are the best in the business. So happy birthday to him. And guys, I think that's going to be all from me. As always, I'm Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Hoopball Pels is a show. This is the Pelican Scoop. Have a wonderful, I suppose, Saturday by the time you get up and listen to this, and it's up in the cloud and on your devices. Have a good weekend, and I'll have a chat to you after the Denver game, whenever that is. Probably not 3 a.m, but we'll see how we go. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.